Okay, so my name is Barry Adams, and this is the weekly FatherHeart.tv webcast. Today is Wednesday, March the 13th. And so the message that I wanted to share today, the thoughts I had, you know, it's not really a well thought out message necessarily, but the thoughts I want to share today, I titled Your Immeasurable Value to God. And my immeasurable value, our immeasurable value to God. So, but before I start, I think I just would like to open in prayer, and just that our hearts would just be open to receive a deeper revelation of our Father's unending love. So, Father, we thank you for every son and daughter in the webcast. Father, we thank you for every son or daughter that's listening after the webcast and the recording. And Papa, we just ask by the power of your Spirit today that there would be a transformation from glory to glory today in our hearts, that just the things that are beyond our intellect, beyond our understanding, even beyond our life experience, that your Holy Spirit today would bear witness with our spirit in a deeper way than ever before, how much we're loved, how much we're valued, how much when you look at us as a father that you really, really carry a father's heart towards us more than we could ever hope for, dream, or imagine. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that lives inside of us, that bears witness with our spirits that God is our real Father, and the Abba cry that just cries out within our very depths to say, you really are our Father, and we are heirs of God, children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. So we just ask, as we just unpack this together today, Papa, that you would make this more real to us today, right this moment, than before we entered this webcast. Thank you that all of heaven, all of the resources of heaven are just committed to revealing who we truly are, and who you really are, because of your great love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for making all of this possible. Wow. Amen. So anyway, I was thinking, and I've had this in my heart for a while. This isn't a message that I've shared before in this context. I'm sure I've touched on it before, but I felt like God wanted to encourage all of us on our how much he values us, and how much when we know we're valued, I mean, we're really valued, when we understand that at a deeper level, it will continue to change us. Just the fact that we are loved and valued by God. So to open up, I want to read a passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And this is a very, very I think very common, you know, passage of scripture that we all know. I'm always reflecting on this and in my own life and just wanting to stay here. So I'm just going to start in verse 25. Jesus, of course, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I think we can all say that's amen to that, right? That each day, you know, there is enough trouble in the day that we don't need to preoccupy ourselves with the future. And then I want to read another passage of scripture that really kind of deals with the same root, the same heart, and it's from Matthew chapter 10, and this is verses 29 to 31, and the first go-around at this is going to be the New Living Translation. And Jesus says, again, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And then I want to read that same passage of scripture now from the Message Bible. And this is what Eugene Peterson translated it as. What's the price of a pet canary? Some loose change, right? And God cares what happens to it even more than you do. He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. I couldn't resist using that that passage from the Message, because I just feel it's just so it's so very affectionate, you know, like when we oftentimes when we look at these scriptures, we sometimes we have a picture of Jesus being very stoic or speaking with a king in King James English and very unemotional. But when we really begin to understand that Jesus was the manifestation of God, he was the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his being, everything that Jesus said and did was an exact representation of his Father. So when he talked about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and how our Father knows what we need before we even ask, that he is so attentive to us. And then he says, like, don't you know your value? Like, don't you realize that you're worth, and again, quoting Eugene Peterson, you're worth more than a million canaries. You see, I really believe that, and this is something that I think all of us can, you know, maybe ask God to help us to, just to ask him how he sees us. Because I believe that much of the worry that you and I deal with, and I'm with you guys, I'm speaking to myself in the reflection in the screen. I truly believe that often our struggles to have peace, to be at rest, to not be anxious, not to be consumed about the future and all of the uncertainties of the future, that a lot of that, the reason why we struggle with these things is what Jesus said, don't you know that you're more valuable than the birds of the air? It's about us not being convinced of our value to God. Because if we are convinced, if we know, if we see with the eyes of heaven, with our spirit man, not in our broken earthly orphan ideas that we've learned along the way, but when we begin to get in the very core of our being how the Father sees us, how the Father loves us, how the Father is so attentive to us, I truly believe that the degree that we have a revelation of our value to him is the degree in which we can start to sink in to his care, his protection, his provision, and stop fretting about the future. Because Jesus basically said, and this is in a sense my paraphrase, like take no thought for your life, right? Basically, don't think about food, don't think about clothing, don't think about shelter, don't worry about anything, because your heavenly Father has got you covered. Look at the birds of the air. You see, we live in the country, and you know, oftentimes we have. I've been amazed at. I've never thought of myself as kind of a bird person. You know, I mean, I like seeing birds. But we moved into the country 3 years ago, and you can just ask my wife, Ann, and she's on the webcast. You know, you can send her a private message and say, is this true? But since we've come here, I went and bought a bird feeder. I bought a bird bath. We've set it out outside our living room window in the backyard, and it's like, you know, I feel like I'm co-laboring with God to feed the birds. And you know, when Jesus said, like, if you're struggling with all of the basic necessities of life, stop for a minute and just look at the birds. Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And I think it's really important for us to understand even the idea that birds, they don't work for their provision. Their provision is provided by a loving Father who cares for us. In Psalm 145, verse 16, it speaks of God saying, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You see, the reason the Father provides for you and protects you and cares for you, it's not because you sow or reap or store in the barns. It's because he's a father. And that is what good dads do. And of course, James 1:17 talks about the nature and character of God himself when he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, no turning shadow. I truly believe that the more that we can be able to understand what Jesus is saying, that you have immeasurable value to God. And in the Matthew 10 chapter passage, when, you know, Jesus talks about that even a sparrow falling to the ground, like, your Father is so involved with nature and humanity and creation itself, it, like, nothing escapes his gaze and his understanding. And he says, but if he's that way with a little sparrow, and you're worth a million canaries, as the Message Bible says, like, how much more valuable are you to him? And he said, Jesus said, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. And now I heard it. It's not just a matter, from what I understand about our hairs being numbered, that's like, okay, Barry, you know, and it's getting less every day, but, you know, maybe I've got, you know, 45,000 hairs on my head. It's not like, it's not even the detail that says, okay, Barry, this is the number of hairs that you have in your head. It's like every hair is numbered. So if I, you know, pull out this hair, it might be, you know, number 5,420. And this hair might be 10,203. You see, the detail that Jesus said the Father is so invested in your life and in my life that we don't have reason to be afraid. We don't have to be worried because we have a Father in heaven who is looking after all the details in our life. And I believe that one of the roots of this idea of worry and anxiety and fear is this lie that we have believed. And this lie can be sown in by many different sources in an orphan world system. But it's a lie that we believe that we're by ourselves, we're on our own, that we're fatherless, that we have to work for everything we get. We have to, you know, if we don't do it, it's our fault. And we start sowing fig leaves and shame comes. And we get into this activity and distraction. And before long, we're just in this tizzy of anxiety and fear. And of course, we know from 1 John 4:18 that perfect love is, it's only perfect love that casts out fear. And the more that we know that we are valued by God, the more that we will believe that we're loved, the more that we can just rest in that, the more that we can actually sink into our inheritance, and that we can begin to live a life as being loved, living in love, knowing that we're loved, and just not being able to operate from the world system that the pagans, as Jesus said, live in. See, I truly believe that Jesus said in John 15, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I believe the fruit of the Spirit, which is the biblical description of fruit in Galatians 5:22-23, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and on and on. And it becomes a manifestation of our personality the more that we believe that we're loved by God, and the more that we believe that we have this immeasurable value to Him. You see, why do we believe? What are some of the issues that can cause us to believe that we're not loved? Well, I mean, if you look at the theory of evolution, for instance, which has permeated the educational system probably worldwide, that in itself has done more damage to our value, because the foundation of evolution is that we evolved from an amoeba in the ocean. We became fish, and then the fish grew legs and started to walk on land, and then they became monkeys, and then we evolved from all that. And what that has done for anybody who has believed that is that it has actually stolen the divinity that God has actually placed in each and every one of us. Now, and I think one of the struggles, to be honest, I feel that so many things, principles of the kingdom have been hijacked, by kind of a secular system, where the rainbow is a symbol of God's promise to man that He will never destroy the world again through the flood. But again, now, sometimes we're a little bit more cautious to use even a symbolism of a rainbow. The New Age movement has hijacked this idea of our divinity, and they say, well, we're all gods, and there is no God. We are all gods in the universe and all that. And that's, that has absolutely caused many believers to even kind of back away from, in the sense of that we were created in the image of God. In Genesis 1:27, God says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And I believe that what evolution has done is it's robbed a sense of where we came from, what our origin is. We came from God. And if apple trees produce apples, what does God produce? And the more that we begin to understand that the divinity that is in the human heart, that God, we were created in the image of God. And of course, with the new birth into the kingdom of God, when we were born again into the kingdom, all of a sudden now, the Bible says in 1 John 3:1 that we have God's seed, and that word seed in the Greek is sperma. So that's God's sperm is in us, and we are now partakers of the divine nature. You see, the more that we believe a lie that says, oh, we just, it's the Big Bang theory, and, we're here by an accident and nothing matters, then all of a sudden that begins to rob the sense of who God has made us to be. We're created in His likeness, in His image. He desired to have a family, and we are His offspring. We are His offspring through creation and through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that we can become His children through redemption. So I believe one of the lies that is trying to devalue us, and we devalue each other through this, is that, well, we're just, doing our best, and we're just here for, 70, 80 years, then we're gone. There's no before and there's no after. It's just this life. I just believe the Father wants for us to know and to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that even before the creation of the world, He carried us in His heart. Before he said, let there be light, He carried you in His heart. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that He chose us before the foundation of the world to be a part of His family. You see, that elevates us to the place of being His kids. And the more that we believe that this is true, this is really true, that, it will begin to dismantle some of the reasons that we feel unloved and unvalued and alone and rejected. And another reason is we live in a fallen orphan world system. And this world system that you and I live in is contrary to the kingdom of God. When we begin to understand more and more that we don't function in the ways of the world. You know, God's thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts and ways. And he does not, he's not impressed with kings. He's not impressed with power. He's not impressed with wealth. He is impressed with the lowly. He is impressed with the childlike heart. He is impressed with the weak and the broken. That's what moves him. And I find it interesting in Matthew 6, this passage of scripture that I started with, in verse 31 to 33, Jesus really deals with the heart of the orphan value system, right? When he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You see, the more that you and I know that our Heavenly Father is attentive to our needs. He knows what we need. He knows that we need food and clothing and shelter. He is not preoccupied with the pursuit of the pagan world, the orphan-based world system that, you know, you have to get it. And if you don't get it, then you're not going to get it. And it's a dog-eat-dog world. The more that we're free from that and we realize that my Heavenly Father knows what I need. Before I even asked, Jesus said, he knows. He is attentive. He's watching. He's aware. He's always thinking about this. In Psalm 139, King David writes, you know, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. Do you know how many grains of sand are on the seashore in the world? I mean, I can remember looking it up one time. And it was, I think, the University of Hawaii. I can't even say the number. It was like the digits were this long, the number of grains of sand that were on planet Earth. And King David was saying that you think of me more than all of those grains of sand combined. Basically, what is he saying? The Father's always thinking about you. The Father's always thinking about me. Now, if we look at it from an intellectual, rational way, it doesn't make sense. How can he be thinking about you when he's thinking about me at the same time? But when we begin to understand that the Father is not limited by an orphan-based paradigm, broken world system, that he's thinking about you all the time and he's thinking about me all the time, the more that it can set our heart at rest to say, Father, is that true? Are you thinking about me right now? Or do we think that God is so busy running the universe that, you know, he's preoccupied, he's distant, you know, and all these, you know, that, and he just wants us to get our part done and get the job done because I'm busy and I don't have time to talk about this stuff. So you just keep on doing it and you know, and I'll pat you on the head if you do something good, or I'll shame you if you do something bad. The Father's not that way. He loves you and he loves me with all his heart. And the more that you and I are able to believe that's true, it will change the substance of our daily lives so that we can rest and really trust him. You see, this orphan world system, orphans don't have fathers, right? So if you were a physical orphan and you were actually in an orphanage, you know, you would be competing with all the other orphans for the food and for the attention and for clothes and for, you know, all the things, because there's no father or mother fighting for you. But you see, we don't have to wage war as the world does. We have a Father in heaven who is for us, and he's not against us. And he has sent his own Spirit as a deposit in your heart, in my heart, as a guarantee, as a reminder of the everlasting inheritance that you and I have. And I know we know this. I know we all say amen to that. Yes, amen. But when we begin to say, Father, would you show me my immeasurable value to you today? Because I'm worried about, you know, the future. I don't know what the future is going to hold. You know, when I come to God and I have those kind of thoughts, you know what he often he says to me, Barry, look at the birds. And that's when I go and I look at the back and I just see they're not sowing, they're not reaping, they're not busy, busy, busy. And yet my Father feeds them. And then my heart's cries, Father, would you show me how much you value me? How much that I'm in your gaze and that you're not leaving me. You're not rejecting me. You're not abandoning me. See, the enemy is constantly lying to us. He lies about who God is. He lies about who we are. Jesus said he's the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. And of course, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, super abundant life. See, what the enemy will try to sow into us is opposite to what God wants us to come into. And the reality, when Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, the truth is that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, he feeds, he cares for his creation, and he's going to care for us. He's numbered our head, the hairs on our head, we're worth more than a million canaries. And my prayer for each and every one of us today is that there would be a greater aha moment in whatever area that we're struggling in. You know, and we're all dealing with different things. It might be illness. It might be a loved one. It might be, retirement. It might be all kinds of questions or, you know, rejection or hurt or pain. And, you know, in this world, we will have trouble, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the more that we are able to fix our eyes on good things, right? To fix our thoughts on things above, you know, think on these things, you know, whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's a good report. So, you know, I experience some form of rejection from an orphan world system and I'm feeling bad about myself, you know, I go to Papa and I just say, Papa, can you tell me again who I am? Can you tell me what you think of me? And I go expecting his love. I go expecting his encouragement, his fathering. You know, I don't go expecting, well, you're wrong and you're bad and I'm disappointed and I'm frustrated with you. I go say, Father, would you tell me again who I am? Could you tell me right now how much you love me again? It's not like he ever tires of telling us this. It's we think he might be tired of it, but he's not. And I believe there's just an awakening in our spirit, man, that the Father, even today, I mean, this is a, you know, his mercies are new every morning. So today is a fresh opportunity for you and I to go deeper into this, his eternal affection that we'd ask him, Father, would you show me how much I'm valued again? You see, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 talks about the strategy of the enemy, right? It said, Paul writes, even if our good news is veiled, it is veiled in those who perish, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them. See, the enemy is just trying, he's trying to veil our eyes. He's trying to lie to us. And, you know, we all know this. And, it's very, very simple that a lie has no power over us except we empower it by agreeing with it, right? So if we disagree with it, if we resist the enemy, he'll flee from us. But if we go, oh, you know what? Maybe God doesn't love me the way he loves my neighbor, or maybe he isn't as good as I think he is. You know, whatever the lie sows, and my encouragement, you know, for each and every one of us is that we just go, yay, God, you love me. I've shared this on the webcast before, but a friend of mine, when his granddaughter was 5 years of age or so, they were watching movies, and he asked his daughter which movie she wanted to watch, and she pointed to one on the DVD and said, that's my favorite. They put it in. After a while, she stopped it, and she wanted another DVD, and she said, well, that one's my favorite, and he put it in. Two favorites. He's starting to get a little bit confused. She did it, I think, a third time. She said, no, I want this other movie because it's my favorite. And in his adult mindset, he was thinking to himself, how can you have three favorites? You know, because we think, you know, it's this priority caste system almost that we've created, that there's this, you know, you can only have one favorite. Then God spoke to him and said, David, you're thinking like an adult. Your granddaughter is thinking like a little child, and she has no problem thinking that every one of those movies is her favorite movie. And then he said, that's how I feel about my kids. Each one of my children are my favorite. Do you feel like God's favorite today? See, Jesus said that the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Do you believe that today? Do you feel that's the truth? Or do you feel, well, maybe for somebody else, but not for me? You see, if there is something in you that believes that, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit, who is the vessel in which the Father pours his love into our hearts, the Holy Spirit that lives in you and me, would be able to dismantle any misconceptions of God's nature so that we would know how much we're loved by God. Another area, another thing that can cause us to misunderstand our value to God is how God has been represented to us, how parental love has been represented to us by our parents. And, you know, we know that our parents could only give us what they received from their parents going back every generation to Adam and Eve. But oftentimes, you know, the love that was modeled to us as little children was a love that was based on performance and acceptance. And if we failed, we could be judged, we could be hurt, we could be rejected, we could be abused. And this has just totally messed up our sense of self-worth, our sense of value, because our parents maybe valued us when we did what they wanted us to do, and they shamed us when we didn't. You know, when I was growing up, there was a very common saying that parents would say to their kids, and they didn't mean anything by it, I know, but the implication is pretty, pretty tough, and it's shame on you. You know, like it's like shame on you, shame, shame, shame. They heap shame, and that's, and I really believe the Father in Isaiah 61 verse 7, in that incredible chapter where Jesus announced Jesus' public ministry, it says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion of their inheritance. So I believe that if you're dealing with any kind of negative emotions and fear and isolation and abandonment and rejection, the Father just says, hey, you know, I want to make an exchange with you. You give me all your junk. You give me your shame. And I will give you a double portion of your inheritance. How's that for a trade? See, and the double portion is the inheritance of the firstborn, and the firstborn in our family is Jesus. You see, I believe that God wants to undo all of the negative stuff that we've experienced when we were little. He wants to restore all that was lost, and he wants to bring you back to that place of value that he has in your sight. Whether your parents loved you or not, whether they rejected you or not, King David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 10, though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You see, the Father receives us. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't judge us. He doesn't look through the lens of a broken earthly paradigm. And that's where I truly believe these things have been ingrained in us since we were little babies. Even in our mother's womb, we were connected with the emotions of our mother, and we, you know, when if she was fearful or if she was anxious, we, in our little hearts that couldn't even process this, we began to experience these things. But my prayer today is that the Father will elevate us. He will lift us up, and that we will know how much we're valued. I remember there was a season in my own life years ago now, but where I was struggling with shame, just feeling ashamed. And that's, you know, just coming from a performance-based world system, school system, you know, careers, you know, broken kind of family, father expectations, all those things. And I just felt ashamed. And a friend prayed for me. And if anybody's ever seen the cartoon movie Lion King, at one point the little lion cub is presented to the kingdom, and you know, and it's this very majestic thing where all the animals are seeing the little cub, which is going to be the heir of the whole jungle. And in my prayer, you know, I felt like I saw God taking me, not looking at me facing him, but facing outward, and he presented me to his kingdom, and it was like, here's my boy. And you know, when I saw that in my spirit, in my the very core of my being, something really changed. And I really felt a sense of value to God more than I had before that. Another area that can work against our sense of value to God is a broken religious system that has completely misrepresented the character and nature of God to us. You know, there's this kind of understanding of theology, you know, worm theology, where we somehow think we can elevate the love of God more by debasing ourselves. We're just worms. We're lowly. We're not worth anything. Ha. And we think by debasing ourselves, we somehow elevate God's love. But the truth of the matter is that we determine the value for everything that we buy by what we're willing to pay for it. What was God willing to pay for your redemption? When Jesus came and died on a cross 2,000 years ago at John 3:16 and 17, for God the Father so loved the world that he sent his own Son. And when we begin to understand that we're not worms, that this inverted pride that we call humility, you know, humility isn't self-hatred. Humility is knowing that we are loved beyond an imagination, and yet we are frail. That God loves us, and he has lived in this clay pot that we live in, and we are loved with an everlasting love. In the midst of that, and when we know who God is and who we are in that sense of our helplessness and our complete dependence, it elevates us. It doesn't debase us. We're not worms. Jesus didn't die for worms. He died for sons and daughters of Yahweh. And the more that we believe this is true, I truly believe it will be able to transform us into the image of the Son whom the Father loves. It does not serve God at all, and it does not serve us to debase ourselves, and we sometimes we think self-hatred is humility. It is the farthest thing. The Father wants you to love what he loves, and that is you. And the way that we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves is begin to love ourselves. Oftentimes we treat other people like we treat ourselves. If we're harsh on ourselves and we're legalistic and we're judgmental, then oftentimes that is the lens in which we relate to other people. But when you know that you are loved and that there's grace for you and there's mercy and help and every time you need it, that the more that we begin to believe that's true, that God is an ever-present help in our time of trouble. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God is with us all the time, and the more that we believe that, the more that you and I can be a manifestation of that to other people. In Romans 8, 31 to 39, this is what Paul wrote. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. You see, this passage of Scripture starts saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, that speaks to the very core of our value to God. The more that you and I believe that we are loved with an everlasting love, that God values us so much that he gave his Son up, not just for humanity, not a faceless humanity, but for you. when we personalize the love of God to the point where we believe that Jesus died for me. He exchanged his life for me. When he was hanging on the cross, it was for me. When he rose from the dead and he said to Mary, go tell my brothers that I'm returning to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father, that was a message for me. The more that we believe that to be true, I believe it has the ability to change the way we deal with anxiety and stress and fear and all of the things that the pagan world, they spin their wheels. They're constantly trying to seek things because they're afraid. They don't know they have a Father in heaven who loves them and is for them. You see, the Father reconciled you to himself when Jesus died on the cross. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21, it talks about that the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You see, the point of Jesus dying on the cross was for you and I to be reconciled to God. Now, here's another thing that I'm going to wrap up soon, but just think about this for a moment. Are you impressed with Moses? Like, we are all like, wow, this is a pretty, he was a hero in the faith. Yeah, Abraham, hero in the faith. David, hero in the faith. All the prophets, all the kings that were great, all the great acts, right? You think maybe they're more valuable than you in the pecking order of the kingdom because of the incredible things they did? Do you know what Jesus said? Think about this for a second. Matthew 11:11. Jesus is speaking about John the Baptist and the greatness of John the Baptist, and that John the Baptist was the greatest person ever born of a woman, right? And this is what he says. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, and here's the yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Think about that for a moment. Of all of the patriarchs, of all the heroes of the old covenant, and they're all amazing and honorable, and they deserve the recognition. Jesus says the least in the kingdom of heaven, the least. So that's, do you feel the least? If you feel like you're the least in the kingdom of heaven, well, you're greater than anyone who was ever born of a woman. And you know why? Because the new covenant heralded a day of a new birth where Almighty God would become our Father, our real Father, not a father figure, but our Father. His seed is in us. We have been joined with Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the more that we understand that our union with Jesus has secured our inheritance and secured us a place in the Father's heart, secured us a seat at his table, secured us with an everlasting inheritance, the more that it can set our heart at rest that we don't have to worry about food, clothing, or shelter. We don't have to worry about all the details of our life, even though the pagans spend all their life trying to seek after these things. We don't have to, because our Heavenly Father knows that what we need. See, John 17, verse 22 to 23, this is part of the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father before he went to the cross. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. You see, here is this beautiful picture of our union with Jesus. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not Christ and you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you is the hope of glory. And he says to his Father, I am in them, Father. And you are in me. So then you are in them. And they are in you. You see, when we begin to understand our immeasurable value to God, when when you understand, when we grasp, this is beyond, this takes revelation. This takes the spirit of wisdom and revelation to open the eyes of our hearts, because the orphan world system, our parents, a broken religious system, our life experiences, all those things will scream against this. But when we begin to see with new eyes in the spirit man that we are loved beyond imagination unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, hope for or imagine, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would have the power to grasp how deep and how wide and how high and how long is the love of God, and we might be filled to the full measure, the fullness of God. I truly believe that it takes the heart of a child to say, yay, I'll take that. See, that's why the adult mindset just says, well, I'm not worthy, and you don't know where I came from, you don't know what my parents said, you don't know what religious doctrine I believe. You see, I believe the Father wants to come to each and every one of us today and say, I want you to know how much you're loved. I want you to know how much you mean to me. I'm thinking about you all the time. I know everything about you. When you lie down, when you rise up before, you know, I hem you in. I'm with you all wherever you go. You can't shake me. See, and I showed this on the webcast, and I may go a couple minutes longer. I hope you don't mind. But I think last year I did a talk on being treasures in earthen vessels. And oftentimes when you look in the mirror, and of course when I look in the mirror, this is what we see. You know, if this represented our life, this is a rock. This is what's called a geode. You know, I'll hold that up really close so you can see it. This is a geode, and basically it's got a lot of scars. It doesn't look very pretty. And oftentimes when we see ourselves, when we focus on our imperfections, this is what we see. But can I encourage you what the Father sees when he sees you? If you turn the inside, this is what he sees. This is what he sees. I'm just going to put it up really close. You see this beautiful, sparkling, incredible treasure. See, the Bible says is that you and I have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of the power of God and not of us. See, I think too often we see this, and I'm going to see all the scars, all of the brokenness, all of the rough edges, all of the experiences that we've had in life. And when we see that, we think that that is what the reality of our life is. But you see, the Bible says that man looks on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. And I just want to wrap up with 1 Peter 5:7. It's a very small verse, but I truly believe that if we really grasp what this is saying to us, it will change everything. Peter writes, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, the reason that you and I are able to take every rock out of our backpack and throw it onto God's big strong arm or shoulders, that we can just cast every care onto him, it's because he cares for you. And that it's that because it's the value that you have to the Father. That you're his little one, you're his child. And whether your parents looked after you or not, the truth of the matter is that God has a father's heart for you. He has a mother's heart for you. He has a parental heart, that he is for you beyond your wildest dreams. He protects you. He provides for you. And his heart is that he wants you to know that today. I really believe the Father wanted me to just, I don't know, maybe this is for one person. I know it's for me. And I'm going to watch it later again to remind myself. Because the Father loves you. He loves me. And he wants us to know our immeasurable value to God. So would you just take a moment, and then we're going to wrap up in the next few minutes. But would you just, I just want to encourage you. And I'm just going to put the music on, and I just want to encourage you that you would be able to really come into a place, just a revelation of his love. come into a deeper revelation of your value to Him, that, that your life was worth everything to Him. And because your life was worth everything, He sacrificed everything for you. So Father, I just pray now by the power of your Spirit that you would just begin to awaken the truth of our immeasurable value to you. It cannot be contained. It's immeasurable how deep and how wide and how high and how long is the love of God. That I just pray that we would just be expanded, our ability to comprehend, Father, by the power of your Spirit, just how much you love us. And you don't love us because we're your soldiers or we your servants or because you want to exploit us. You love us because we're your kids. See how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. I just declare that you are not who your parents said that you are. You were. You are not what the orphan world system says you are. You are not what a broken religious system says you are. You are a child of the living God. You are joined with Jesus and seated at God's right hand, even right now, hid with Christ in God. You are of greater value than all of the birds of the air combined. You are greater than all of the heroes of the Old Testament. You are a much loved child of Almighty God. His seed is in you. And I just pray now by the power of the Holy Spirit that the Abba cry would come in a greater measure, in a greater expression of His love than you've ever experienced before. You are my Abba. I belong to you. And that you would know, that you would know, that you would know that nothing in all creation can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life can't, death can't, angels can't, demons can't, the future can't, the present can't. Nothing can separate you. No fear, no opposition, no anxiety, no any external force cannot separate you from His love today. You are safe in His care. He is your Father. He feeds the birds of the air, and He's going to look after you. Father, we thank you that we are of immeasurable value to you. And by your Holy Spirit today, we just say, Father, we receive that. Even by faith, if we're not, it hasn't been our life experience, but we today, would you just awaken in us a greater revelation of who we are in your sight. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You love these clay pots, Father. You've set your value on these clay pots, and you've called us your kids. There is no higher honor that you could bestow on us than to call us your own children. Thank you, Jesus, that this is your heartbeat. You came to bring a revelation of this to the planet Earth 2,000 years ago and to each one of our hearts today. You are continuing to reveal your Father to us and the love that He has for us. Amen. Amen.